As for the teaching of our chefs and what we please have come to stand for, has already discussed that the sunnah of Nabi Akhir Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is discussed before the lecture. So one sunnah of Nabi Akhir Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in dua that should be recited when a person leaves his home. And what is the dua? It's a simple dua that each and every one of us know of it. That when a person leaves his home, Bismillah. Every person knows Bismillah. So the first part of the dua is Bismillah. The second part of the dua, Tawakkaltu ala Allah. Everyone knows this part of the dua as well. We read Tawakkaltu ala Allah. So Bismillah, Tawakkaltu ala Allah. And the ending of the dua, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This also every person knows, the ending of the dua. So Bismillah, Tawakkaltu ala Allah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Does it explain that if a person he recites a dua when leaving home, then there are three favors that a person will enjoy. The first favor, every person, especially now that we are leaving our home every morning, the person does not know what is going to go on the road, what accident can take place on the road, all today's time hijackings, robberies. So the first promise that has been mentioned for a person that recites his dua, Mufita, that you have been protected. Allah Ta'ala has taken the responsibility of protecting that person that recites his dua and leaves home. The second reason that we leave our home, we wait for our risk, we wait for our sustenance. Today every person is worried about his risk and sustenance. Everyone today is talking, what is the price of the dollar, what is the price of the rent, what is happening to the fuel price. So here Allah Ta'ala promised that Kufika, you have been taken care of also. Your risk will be taken care of from the side of Allah Ta'ala. And the third concern is that of our delight. That a person leaves home, today there are so many groups and how many deviated groups. And how easy for a person to go astray. So a person that reads the dua and leaves his home, Hudita, he will be given hidayah also. So such a simple dua, just a few seconds it takes when we leave our home. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But look at the great promises from the side of Allah. You have been protected also. Your sustenance and your risk have been taken care of also. And hidayah, which is the greatest thing, Allah Ta'ala will grant you hidayah as well. This is the month of Rabiul Akhir, and generally in these 2 months, Rabiul Awwal and Rabiul Akhir, we discuss the seerah and the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Imam Isa Qandili rahmatullahi alayhi, his kitab Seerat al-Mustafa, he has written, he says, for every believer, it is necessary for him to know Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he knows himself also. And the reason that Hazrat Imam Isa Qandili rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned, he says that where did we get our deen from? Today we should be here as Muslims with Iman. And where did we get our Islam from? This is from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore Quran Sharif also Allah Ta'ala mentions An-Nabi awla bil-mu'mineena min anfusihim. That the Nabi is more closer to the believers than to themselves. So how close Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to us? Therefore it is necessary that we know about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find this is the only Nabi of Allah whose seerah, whose complete life has been recorded in totality. Perhaps in the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, people have recorded their lifespan as well, but it was never completed. Some many heroes perhaps have passed, many kings have passed, people have written their history as well, but the history was never ever completed. And the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, people are in doubt as far as where they are buried. There's great difference of opinion when Musa alayhi salatu wa salam is buried. Some people of the opinion Musa alayhi salatu wa salam is buried for Baitul Muqaddas. Others of the opinion somewhere else. Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, the Christians believe that he has been crucified. We know the reality regarding Isa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised him. So we find that only with certainty the believers know that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is buried in Madinah al-Munawwara. And we know Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is 100% alive. And at a few meters distance, we are reciting salawat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is answering to each and every one. So this is only for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The previous scriptures also have been totally distorted. There is no Farid al-Tawrat also. There is no Injil also. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected even the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to choose Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, but Allah ta'ala protected the family lineage of Nabi alayhi salam right up to Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam. It is mentioned in this ayat of Quran that has been cited. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. That most certainly a Rasul has come to you from amongst yourself. The Muqatab and those that are addressed over here at the Arabs of Makkah say, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has come to you in a Nabi from amongst yourself. There is another qira'at to this as well. The other qira'at is, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ.
that most certainly a Rasul has come to you, who is the most honorable from amongst you. Nabi al-Islam himself made the explanation of this verse, and he said, أَنَا أَنْفُسُكُمْ نَسَبًا وَحَسْبًا وَسِحْرًا, that I am the most honorable amongst you people, as far as family meaning is concerned. To such an extent, that he said, لَيْسَ فِي آبَائِي مِنْ لَدُنْ آدَمَ شَحَامًا, that in my family meaning, right from the time of Adam al-Islam, right up to Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was not a single person that ever got involved in adultery or fornication. كُلُّنَا نِقَاهُمْ, that each and every person, they have made nikah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected the families of Nabi al-Islam. So to say, when Allah ta'ala says, this is my Nabi is Mustafa, my Nabi is Mustafa, then the family also was Mustafa, and the family meaning was also Mustafa. It is mentioned, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when the waqiyah, the incident of Ifk had taken place, there is no time to go into the details. But when the incident of Ifk had taken place, where the Munafiqeen had accused Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha of getting involved in adultery with Hazrat Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiallahu ta'ala anha. So it is mentioned at that particular time, Sahaba also were in doubt, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also in doubt initially. Then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the verses of Surah Nur. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had clearly mentioned that how pure and what a chaste woman has Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Allah ta'ala proposed a question to the Sahaba. And Allah ta'ala said, وَلَوْلَا تِسَّمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. That, O Sahaba, why was it not such that when you heard people leveling these accusations against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, why didn't you speak out and why didn't you say, it is not appropriate for us to speak like this about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? Wallah, you are pure. This is a great slander. Hatha buhtanun azim. This is a great slander against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala explained, and he says, Ma bagat imra'atu nabiyyin qattu, that the wife of a Nabi, she can never ever be involved in any type of evil whatsoever. And the wife of a Nabi, her parents is someone else. Her family lineage is a different family lineage. But Allah Ta'ala protects the wife of a Nabi also. When the wife of the Nabi is protected, then what to say upon Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How Allah Ta'ala has protected even the family lineage of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And this was not only for Nabi alayhi salam, but all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. That all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, the people had rejected their message. The kuffar, they did not accept the message. But when it came to their family lineage, all of them had agreed that the family lineage of the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of a very, very, very high status. So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected the family lineage of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, with the exception of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, that was when Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala, she brought this little child, and now she came, there's no husband. So immediately the Yahud, they had immediately, the Jews raised an objection. And they said that, oh, Ya Ukhta Harun, ma kana abuki ra'a sawt, wa ma kana ummuki baghiya. That your father was not an evil man, your mother was not an evil woman, where did you bring this little child and you came from now? Allah Ta'ala cleared the air there also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before that was instructed that you keep a roza. And what is the roza of that time? That فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَا, that I cannot speak to any human being. That was the roza of that sharia. That I cannot speak to any human being. So what did she do? فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ, she made ishara to this time. So they told her, قَالُوا كَيْفَ تُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا, how can we speak to this little child that is still in the cradle? So that little child, infant, just born, look at the qudrat of Allah. Look at the power of Allah. He speaks up and says, Ibni Abdullah, I am the servant of Allah. Atani al-kitab wa ja'alani nabiyya. Allah Ta'ala gave me the kitab, he made me a nabi. Wa ja'alani mubarakat ayna ma kun. And Allah Ta'ala has made me one that is full of barakah wherever I will be. Wa awsani bis salati wa zakati ma kuntu hayya. He has commanded me to perform salah, to discharge zakat as long as I am alive. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had written letters to the various kings, inviting them, giving them dawah to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one letter was written to Heraclius of Rome. This letter was taken by the Jafiyah Qalbi radiallahu ta'ala. At that time, Heraclius was in Sham. When he received this letter and he read this letter, he said, is there anyone that is in Sham at this particular time that has come from Makkah Sharif? I want to make some investigations. I want to find out about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan was not a Muslim at that time, but nevertheless, he was brought before Heraclius. So Heraclius asked him a question. The rewired from Bukhari said, many, many questions he put. One question that he asked is, كَيْفَ نَسَبُهُ فِيكُمْ, how is his family meaning amongst you people, amongst the Arabs? How is the family meaning of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam? So Abu Sufyan, being a non-Muslim, he could have spoken a lie at that time. But what did he say? هُوَ فِينَا ذُو نَسَبُ, is a man of a very, very high family lineage. Here Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Daum Barakatuh has written, he says that even though he was a kafir, for a kafir also he was unable to speak a lie. That even in the days of Jahiliya, a kafir, he would stay away from abstain from speaking lies. They also regard speaking lies as an evil. So my Lord, Quran Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَلْتَلِبُ الْرِزْتَ مِنَ الْأَوْتَارِ وَاسْتَلِبُ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ, that abstain from the filth of idol worship and abstain from giving false evidence. So to say idol worship and giving false evidence, this has been brought onto the same level and the same pedestal, that it is equated to one another. We find that Mufti Taqi Sahib has written in one place, he says, and one when I was in Pakistan, he says one pious person came to me. So this pious person, I asked him, that what does he come here, when are you going back to your country? So this person said that I was supposed to go in 2 days' time. He says, but I already sent a doctor's certificate. So he said, doctor's certificate? What doctor's certificate are you talking about? So he says that I was supposed to attend work in another 1 or 2 days' time, but I wanted extended leave. So I obtained a false doctor's certificate that I'm unfit for work, so I would attend a few days later. The Mufti Sahib asked him, he says that we don't regard this as a lie. Isn't this a lie? So he says he was honest, he was a fine, so-called a finest person, he was honest. So immediately he said that the thought never even struck my mind that this is regarded as speaking a lie. So today this has become so common, we involve in it, we don't even realize we are speaking a lie. In one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person that says a joke to make other people laugh and it is false, this person is a painful punishment for him on the day of Qiyamah. Many a time we say jokes and just to make somebody laugh, but we don't realize that it's a lie as well. On one occasion, Hazrat Muhammad Hamid Sahib Daum Barakatuh, he said that my Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was here. So he said when Hazrat was departing, I went to him and I made a joke and said something to Hazrat. So Hazrat smiled and he said, what about the lie that you have spoken of here? Then, so here also immediately Islam was in vain. So we find that how particular we must be that we should not speak any lies. So nevertheless, here also Abu Sufyan, he never ever spoke a lie. So he also mentions the family lineage of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is of a very, very high level. It happens in Hajj al-Asqalani rahmatullahi in Fath al-Bari. He said, huwa fi hasabin la yahduduhu ahad. He's of such a high family lineage that nobody could excel the family lineage of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the family lineage also of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we go to Makkah city and we enjoy the beautiful Zamzam of Makkah. We enjoy the Ajwan and the Khajur of Madinah al-Munawwara. Regarding the Zamzam of Makkah Sharif that we always enjoy, that we ever ponder in the history of the Zamzam, then how does the Zamzam actually reach us? Normally we think to ourselves that this is because of Ismail al-Islam. Indeed, it is because of Ismail al-Islam. When his mother, Hazrat Hadira, she was making sa'i between Safa and Marwa, the little child was thirsty, he was hitting his feet on the ground. So indeed, at that time, the water of Zamzam had gushed out. But what happened thereafter? It is mentioned thereafter, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, he grew up. And the Qabila al-Jurum, they were passing Makkah Sharif. As they were passing Makkah Sharif, there was a famine, they were from Yemen, there was a famine in Yemen. So they seen some birds that were flying around Makkah Sharif. So these birds that were flying around in this area, so they said that normally birds in the desert, they fly where there is water. But we know this area, there is no water here. So they sent one person, go and check. Is there any water that is in this area? So he came back, he said, yes, there is water. So they came to Hazrat Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam. So they asked her, they sought permission from her, can we settle down here? She said, no problem, you can settle down. وَلَكِنْ لَا حَقَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْمَاءِ. You got no rights in the water of Zamzam belongs to me. But you can settle down in Makkah Sharif. So they settled down over there. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam grew up. They got Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam married to a girl from their tribe, from their Qabila. So Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, he got married, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him as a Nabi to the people of Yemen, to the Qabila al-Jurhum, and thirdly to the Qabila of Amalika, the tribe of Amalika. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam lived right up to the age of 130, and at the age of 130 he passed away. The qabr of Ismail alayhi salam is buried today where the Hatim is. And in the area around Kaaba Sharif, many Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are buried in this particular area. When Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, now Banu Ismail, the children of Ismail alayhi salam, they became the mutawallis of Kaaba Sharif. They were the trustees, they were in charge of taking care of Kaaba Sharif. So on one side they were there, on the other side the tribe of Durum were there. So after some time, some clashes had begun, and these two tribes, they now went to war. When they went to war, the tribe of Durum overpowered Banu Ismail. And they removed Banu Ismail. When they oppressed them, eventually they came onto the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah. And the Qabila of Durum, they started ruling Makkah Sharif. But they started committing sin around the Kaaba Sharif, in Kaaba Sharif. So all the tribes of the Arabs, they got together. They said, this is something we cannot tolerate. In Kaaba Sharif, they're committing guna, they're committing sins over here. So they all decided that we would wipe them out, we would remove them from Makkah Sharif. And the entire tribe of Jurum was removed from Makkah Sharif. When they were removed from Makkah Sharif, they brought Banu Ismail again. They said, again, you are in charge of Baytullah. You are the trustees of Baytullah. So immediately they took over Baytullah once again. When Qabila Jurum had left, they had broken half of the Kaaba Sharif. And whatever they had broken, they buried it in the well of Zamzam. And then after they covered the well of Zamzam. Now that was Makkah Sharif, that was the desert of Makkah. So when this area was now covered, nobody knew where is the well of Zamzam. And this was lost from the time of Banu Ismail, right up to the grandfather of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abdul Muttalib. On one occasion, Abdul Muttalib, he went to the Kaaba Sharif and he was sleeping there. So he sees a dream. In this dream that he sees, one person comes to him and he tells Abdul Muttalib, he said, Yakfir il Barra, that big up Barra. So Abdul Muttalib asked a question, he said, what is Barra? What is this Barra that you're talking about? That person that came in the dream, he disappeared, he was gone. So Abdul Muttalib, he woke up perplexed, he does not know what happened. Next day he comes back to Kaaba Sharif. He's sleeping again in the Kaaba Sharif. Same person comes back in the dream. And this time he tells him, Yakfir il Mazmuna, that dig up Mazmuna. So Abdul Muttalib puts a question, he says, Waman Mazmuna? What is this Mazmuna that you're talking about? The man in the dream disappears. Third day, same thing happens. He comes back, he sleeps there. Again he sees a dream. This time he's told, Ikfir Tayyiba, the dig up Tayyiba. So he asks, Waman Tayyiba? What is the Tayyiba that you're talking about? Again the man disappears, he says nothing. On the 40th he comes. Again on the 40th, the same person appears in the dream. This time he tells him, Ikfir Zamzam. So Abdul Muttalib asks him, Waman Zamzam? What is Zamzam? He also does not know what is Zamzam. So then he mentioned that what is Zamzam? He said, لا تنزق أبدا ولا تزم تسقي الحديد الأعظم. That this is such water that it will never ever dry up. This is such water that it will never ever decrease. So تسقي الحديد الأعظم, that Hujjaj will come in large groups, huge groups. Millions of people will come and they will drink the water of Zamzam. Not only millions are going there to drink the water of Zamzam. Today when it's the month of Ramadan, we are sitting on our dastarkhan here in South Africa and enjoying the water of Zamzam. We enjoy the Hajj of Madinah to Munawwar. So nevertheless, next morning Abdul Muttalib, he wakes up. And now he takes a pickaxe and he tells his son Haris, let's go and dig the well of Zamzam. But he calls for Quraysh also. He says that this is a dream I have seen. Quraysh refused to assist him. So now he goes to dig the well of Zamzam. It is mentioned on the first day, he did not find anything. The second day, he and his son, they did not find anything. Now he only had one son. So at that time he took a qasam. He said, Wallahi, if you give me 10 sons, then one son of mine I will slaughter for your pleasure. He took a qasam in the name of Allah Ta'ala. So the second day he dug, he did not find anything. On the third day when he dug, he found a little bit of water. Immediately he called out Takbir, Allahu Akbar, and said, Hada Tawa Ismail. This is that secret of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. The water of Zamzam that was hidden, this is that secret. So nevertheless, now they found the water of Zamzam. It's a long story, I can't go into detail. But nevertheless, he channeled this water to a particular pond. And this water would come to this pond and people now use the water from this particular pond. It is mentioned that some people after some time, they started urinating in this water, messing up the water. So Abdul Muttalib would come every morning and he would clean up the pond and let it refill. But after some time he got frustrated. Every day these people were repeating the action. So he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, Allahumma la ahilluha al-muqtasil. I don't make it halal for a person to make ghusl in this water. Walakin li sharibin hillan. But the man that wants to drink this water, it is permissible for him. So this is the dua that he made. Any person that came after that and urinated, he met that water, Allah Ta'ala inflicted him with a disease. So finally people stopped this evil of death. So here they had the water of Zamzam. Now once the water of Zamzam was found, Allah Ta'ala blessed Abdul Muttalib with 10 sons. So now one day he's sleeping again in the Baytullah, he sees a dream. And in this dream he is told, أَوْفِ بِنَذْرِكَ لِرَبِّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. That fulfilling a qasam that you have taken for the Rabb of Baytullah. Some hearing of this, inshallah. Then he said, fulfill your qasam for the Rabb of Kaaba Sharif. So Abdul Muttalib, he gathered all his sons, he said, I took this qasam, what should I do? So the son told the father, that أَوْفِ بِنَذْرِكَ, fulfill that qasam of yours, if al mashita, that do what you have been, whatever you wish to do, that you have to slaughter your son, slaughter the son. So now we have 10 sons. So he took the name of all 10 sons, he wrote it down, and he put it into a container. And now he started casting lots. Every time he picked up, the name of Abdullah, the father of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, came out. So he made up the decision that this is the son that has to be slaughtered. So he took Abdullah, and now he is going to slaughter Abdullah. So the daughters, the sisters of Abdullah, started crying. The aunties of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they started crying. They said, "You can't slaughter our brother." So the father said, "What should be done then?" So they said that the deer at that time, the blood money for killing somebody at that time, it was 10 camels. So take 10 camels and put it in the container and give fast lot and let's see what happens. So nevertheless, the first time he picked up, the name of Abdullah came out again. So Abdul Muttalib, what he did, every time he started increasing. From 10 he went to 20. So he made it 20 camels. Again he picked up, and then the name of Abdullah came out. So each time the name of Abdullah came out, he increased the number by 10. Till finally he reached the number 100. And when he reached 100, now when he cast the lot and he picked up, instead of Abdullah coming out, the 100 camels came out. And therefore we find that the deer, today for example, a person he goes hunting, and he points at an animal, he wants to shoot the animal, but he went on target, and he shot another human being. This is what is termed in the, by the fuqaha as qatl al-khata, that unintentionally, as a mistake, a person took the life of another. So when you take the life of another person unintentionally, then you have to give the deer, the blood money, which is 100 camels. For example, we are living in South Africa. In South Africa, it's a non-Muslim country. So here there's no law of hudud and qitaal. For example, you kill somebody, so you must be killed in return. This doesn't apply in South Africa. Qitaal does not apply. Hudud also doesn't apply. For example, a person, na'udhu billah, he gets involved in drinking wine, he won't be arrested. But the law of deen applies in South Africa as well. A person is negligent, he is driving, he runs somebody down. So in terms of Sharia, South African law cannot apply. But in terms of Sharia, he has to give the blood money. So it is mentioned thereafter, he took the 100 camels and he slaughtered the 100 camels. So in short, we find that so much we got from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the family of Nabi alayhi salam. The water of Zamzam also we got because of the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at least show our appreciation, saying Jazakallah to Nabi al-Islam, and our husband says, how this should be done? He says, by sending salawat upon Nabi al-Islam. Send zulul upon Nabi al-Islam. He says, this is saying Jazakallah to Nabi al-Islam. As it says that this durood upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that this will bring all our amal, all our deeds will bring it to acceptance. He explains this, as it explains this. For example, in our dua, we read durood in the beginning, we read durood in the end of our dua. So why is it durood in the beginning, durood in the end? That durood that is in the beginning is 100% accepted by Allah. The durood that is in the end, this is 100% accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah accepted the beginning of your dua, Allah ta'ala accepted the ending of your dua, how is it that the middle part of your dua, your actual dua is going to be rejected in the court of Allah? In another place, Allah explains, what is the purpose of salah? Wa aqim as-salah wa dhikri. Allah ta'ala says, establish salah for my dhikr, for my remembrance. So salah is for the remembrance of Allah. But salah is not complete without durood sharif in the end. So why is the durood sharif in the end also? Because we know the condition of our salah. Where our mind is in the first rakat, in the second rakat, in the third rakat. But the durood that is in the end, that is 100% accepted. So when the durood is accepted, this durood will bring our salah also to acceptance. Hazrat Hakim, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, agar salli ala nahu zubatar, to kya asar hoga aam wa tubam. If this durood sharif is not in the tongue of a person, then what effect will there be in your crying and your sobbing, whether it's tahajjud time, whichever time the person is crying? No effect if there's no durood on your tongue. Hazrat explains to an example that all of us can understand. He says, when we go to the airport, he says, at the airport, you got a mess of Boeing 747, a Boeing 737. How many passengers that Boeing carries? 300, 400 passengers. And that Boeing, when it is cruising at 1000 kilometers an hour, 10,000 meters above sea level. But what is it that brings that Boeing 747 onto the runway? It is that little truck, that tug that is there, that pulls the Boeing and brings it onto the runway. Then that Boeing takes off at a speed of 180 and flies to 6,000, 7,000 kilometers. So it says, exactly understand your durood sharif. Durood sharif seems to us something that is very, very small. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many things to recite also? But it is so powerful. Your namaz it will bring to acceptance. Your dua it will bring to acceptance. All your ibadah that you will do, durood sharif will bring it to acceptance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of reciting abundant durood daily upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala give us the true love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.